Good morning again.
Good morning.
I gotta be honest. Today's message, today's sermon is, you know, more out of, I read about it, I heard about it, I watched videos on it, but I've never actually tended to vines or I've never been to a vineyard. I'm not a big wine guy. If you get me like a plant or something like that for Christmas, it'll probably die before the year ends, you know? I'm not good with plants. But this is, you know, Jesus is using an analogy, using a vine and saying, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is a vine dresser. And for people back then, it seems like they would have known what Jesus is talking about, because there's a lot of vineyards where they grew up, and, you know, probably sometime during their life they encountered vineyards or like cultivating vines, you know. It's like us today. It wouldn't be surprising if there's a number of you who've worked at a fast food restaurant or something at one point of your life, and or something like that, you know. At one point of their lives, they probably had to go to, you know, Uncle Jerry's house and work on the vineyard, you know, and something like that. So they would know all the things about working on a vineyard. We probably know nothing. Has anyone actually been on a vineyard? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Tom texted me this week and said, you know, I'm really excited about your message because you're talking about vines and using trellises and all that other stuff. And I'm like, oh, Tom, you've actually, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he's actually done these things. I must sound really stupid or ignorant, because, you know, there's a difference between actually doing something and just reading about something. And so maybe Tom should have given the message about being the vine and the stuff like that, because I'm just, I've never, you know.
You're fine.
Yeah, well, what I'm telling you is, I guess this is what this means, you know, according to what other people have said, this is what this means. But here today we're looking at John 15, 1 through 6, and this is the last of Jesus's I am sayings. There are seven I am sayings throughout the book of John, and I am, it goes all the way back to Moses, when God tells Moses, tell the people, I am who I am, and that's God's name. And Jesus is connecting himself to that voice that Moses heard saying, I am. And now he's finishing that sentence of, I am the bread of life, I am the light of this world, I am the life and the resurrection. And here he's saying, I am the true vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So last week we looked at this a little bit, and just to give you a recap, Jesus is the vine of branches, and they say the vine grows about 3 feet, and then it shoots out branches to the left, to the right. And God is the one going around the vine and the branches and tending to it. And we are the branches of this vine. Now, there's going to be branches that bears no fruit. And oftentimes it seems like the branches that doesn't bear fruit, it's because the leaves are dirty, or because it's growing on the ground, not on the trellis, which people put branches on. And the vine dresser will see these branches not bearing any fruit, and if it's not on the trellis, it will lift it up and put it on the trellis. And that's what some people believe. That's what Jesus was saying when it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Some of your translation says take away, cut off, but the Greek of that word is lift up. And so I believe that's what Jesus meant. He says, I'm going to lift it up, and I'm going to make sure you are as fruitful as you can be. Because, and this is the, if you get anything out of this, I want you to get this. God desires each and every one of us to live a meaningful, fruitful life. your own earth. God wants you to live a fruitful life, a meaningful life. And so in the world of viticulture, to be fruitful, you need a good vine dresser. Someone that will lift you up, that will clean you, that will do everything possible to make you, make us fruitful. Now, we talked about a lot of this last week, so I'm not going to go over it. What I want to look at, go over that we didn't really look at last time is, Jesus uses, if you want to be fruitful, you have to abide in me. He says that several times. He says, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. What does it mean to abide in him? Let me go back a little bit. What does it mean to be fruitful, living a meaningful life? So I believe what Jesus is saying when he says, I want you to be fruitful, live a meaningful life. One thing he means is when you, whatever you do in this life, whether you're flipping burgers or you're teaching at the U of A or you're up here as a pastor, whatever you do, you have to abide in me to bear fruit. And so whatever you're doing, what comes out of you is flowing from the vine. And as you're flipping burgers, as you're changing bed sheets, as you're doing research, whatever you may be doing, there's something flowing out of you. And what is that flowing out of you? And when Jesus uses the term fruitful, I believe what's flowing out of you is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why I believe he uses the term fruitful. And the fruit of the Spirit consists of 9 characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So whatever you're doing, and you know, in this life we live in a pretty privileged life world. We live in a very privileged time. When Jesus said the things he said, it was not as good as it is today in terms of occupation or in terms of quality of life. Because back then, you know, sometimes you're just born into slavery. That's just the way it is. And you have to just do whatever the master tells you. The master tells you your occupation for the rest of your life is to go out there and, I don't know, take care of the sheep. That's what you do. You can go to like junior college and work your way up to like the university system, and then, I don't know, go online, get some degrees, certification. And you couldn't do all those things. You just had to do what you were told to do, and you were born into, some of them born into royalty, and maybe they can do those things. But the most of the world, they were not born into those kinds of things. And so when Jesus says, I want you to live a fruitful, meaningful life, he wasn't saying, go out there and take the bulls by the horn and do what you want to do. Because for a lot of them, they couldn't do what they wanted to do. They just had to do what they were born into. If you're born into shoemaking, that's what you became. You became a shoemaker. But he is saying, as a shoemaker, as a shepherd, as whatever you are, you can still be fruitful. Yeah. And I still think it applies today. Amen. It doesn't matter if you have a great job, the job of your dreams, to be fruitful. In fact, you could have a job that you just fell into, you know? This is the only job I could find. This is the only thing, person that would hire me, and this is what I'm doing. I'm a caregiver for my parents. You know, that's what they need. That's what I'm going to do. That doesn't mean your life isn't meaningful. That doesn't mean you're not fruitful. So the one part of being fruitful is whatever you're doing as you're abiding in Christ, that life of Christ is working through you. And so whatever you're doing it in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. That's sort of what it means, I believe, when it says, abide in me. Allow God to flow through you. Now, as you allow God to flow through you, I do think as you're doing these things, that God will give you more and more opportunities to do good. Not occupationally, but just to do good. To do good works, because God created you to do good works. Amen? He didn't create us to be selfish and to live selfish lives and to do things just for me, myself, and I. And so I think that's part of what it means when it says he will lift you up. Can I give you a secret? A secret to life. And this isn't just a Christian thing. You'll go anywhere and you'll find this secret. If you want to be successful in whatever you do, don't think about yourself. Think of helping other people out. If you want to be successful in gambling, use that winning to help people out. And then God will say, this guy's doing what's right. I'm going to have to bless him. Don't be gamblers, though. That's not what I'm saying. But whatever you do, as you become successful in it, you got to think of other people. That's the secret. If you want to be successful, make sure in your success, you help other people out. And for some reason, and you'll find this in every kind of book you could find on how to be successful, is they'll tell you to give back. Whether they're a Christian author or whether they're Bill Gates or whatever that is, you know. But I think that's when Jesus comes around and says he'll lift you up, he'll give you perspective of more than just yourself, your worldly self, but he'll lift you up and give you perspective from a heavenly perspective and begin to help other people and use the gifts and talent God gives you to help other people out. And that's one of, just in terms of success, but let me get back into abiding in me. As for those of us who wants to follow Christ, now there are kingdoms in this world. Did you know that? There's the kingdom of this world and there's the kingdom of God. And being fruitful is bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Being successful doesn't necessarily translate to that. And so sometimes we can get, sidetracked, distracted, confused with those two things. There are many people, Christians included, that believe being successful is being fruitful. Not true. Not true. You can be successful without God. You can run a great business, give away a lot of stuff without God. Pray a lot of prayers without God. And I just want to get into, when Jesus says, abide in me, he's not saying, abide in me and you'll be fruitful. He's not saying, be successful in this life. I just want to point that out. He's not saying, go out there and be successful with your life. I do believe Jesus wants you to be successful, but those are two different things. Because you can be successful. You can even be successful in church without God. You could even grow a big, mighty church without God, without abiding in Christ. But for those who are abiding in Christ, who everything they do is flowing out of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, because they're following Jesus, they're believing Jesus, they're putting their faith in Jesus, and they're doing good works, and they're growing. You know, I don't know. Again, this is just head knowledge. This is my imagination. okay? But I believe as you grow as a branch, you start growing, right? Yeah, is that how it works, Tom? You start growing as a branch, you like grow, and then all these fruits, and you're the branch, and you start growing, and more fruit is coming out of one branch, right? There's like maybe clusters of grapes coming out as you grow and grow and grow, yeah? You know what God does when you do that? He harvests the grapes. And then winter time comes. And then there's no fruit on the branch. There's no leaves on the branch. It's on the trellis. It's doing everything. It's abiding in the vine, but there's nothing. It's bare. That's what happens, apparently. Again, I remember, I guess I've seen it in a video, but I've never actually seen it, touched it, or you know, smelled it, nothing like that. But I guess the branches, they grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and they produce fruit. And you know what the vine dresser does after everything is gone? He snips it. And the branch, it falls to the ground. And you're like, what are you doing, God? If you're a branch, you're like, what are you doing? All of those fruit came from those branches. Why are you snipping me? It's called pruning. God prunes. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? So you can start at ground zero and be humbled. No, just kidding. That does happen, though. You know, when you start, you know, when you're a big branch, you're probably like, look at me, I'm so big. Yeah. Next year I'm gonna bear so much fruit. Yeah? And then all of a sudden the vine dresser comes around and says, look at that branch. Snip. It's like, what? I gotta start at zero now. It's humbling. It's probably painful. You know, Jesus says something interesting. He says, where your treasures are, there your heart will be. Where your treasures are, there your heart will be. Side note, make sure your treasures are in heaven, not on this earth. Anyways, as the branch falls to the ground, some people, apparently, their heart is where the branch is on the ground. Because that's where all the good things used to be. It used to be so good. I was so comfortable. It was just like routine. It was like clockwork, you know? Why does it have to change? But sometimes God just snips it, and it goes on the ground. And for us, I believe what it looks like for us is we're doing all these good works. You know, God is giving us success, and things are going fine, and all of a sudden, something happens where our life changes. Now, just to be clear, this is not, there's a difference between God pruning us and God disciplining us because of sin, or the church disciplining us because of sin. You know, because of our sin or because someone sinned against us. There's a difference between that. So pruning would look like, you know, I was maybe like, I have this ministry, it's going well, and all of a sudden, God doesn't want me to do this ministry. Or all of a sudden, you know, I've been going and I've been spending time with God, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I just feel so good, and all of a sudden, it just doesn't feel good anymore. I believe that's what pruning is. It's doing the things that God wants you to do, and all of a sudden, it's just not fulfilling us anymore spiritually. So I'm not talking about God snipping us because of him disciplining us of sin, or something that happened to us because a sinful person was not, just sinned against us. Those are different things, and God treats those differently. But I'm talking about for those who've been faithfully following God, doing what God called us. I thought, God, you called me here, and all of a sudden, I just don't feel it anymore. I've been reading the Bible, I've been praying, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and all of a sudden, it's not there. I've been giving, and it just feels like he snipped it off. And I believe what usually happens when he snips it off, all of a sudden we're like, you know, maybe God's not for me. Or maybe, you know, maybe, I don't know. That church used to do it. Maybe I'll go watch some football. Yeah. I watched full days of football Saturday. Well, let's watch full days of football Sunday too now. Or I don't know. I don't know what you guys like. Golf. I think someone likes golf here. I'll watch a full day of golf. In context, the disciples who were faithfully following Jesus will soon enough be snipped. The way they used to follow Jesus was very easy, very comfortable. After 3 years, it was just like clockwork. You'd follow Jesus, you'd do what he says. I mean, he was right there. Jesus is saying, you're going to get snipped. I'm physically not going to be here for you anymore. And if you try to follow a physical person like me again, you're not abiding in me. That's a branch that's on the ground. What's going to happen once I leave is my spirit will come. My Holy Spirit will come and he will guide you. He will tell you. He will direct you. And the way you've known spirituality is going to be completely different than what you've experienced it. In fact, for the whole nation of Israel, it'll be completely different because the way the nation of Israel experienced God was they would go to the temple, they would do sacrifices, they would do all of these things, but the temple in about 40 years will be completely destroyed. Now what? Well, I guess there was no more God. No, Jesus is saying, abide in me. Trust me. No matter what you have to go through in life, learn to trust me. Because if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and burned. So if our heart is where God snipped us, that's when I believe our lives begin to wither spiritually. Hey, you still may be successful, you know? But as you wither and as the flow of God is no longer connected, you'll see that your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your faithfulness, and self-control is withering with it. Because your treasure and your heart is no longer connected to the vine. You're still a branch, but you're no longer connected. For those of us today who feel like they're not connected, it's a very simple thing. I think we sang a song where God grafted it back in. God can always graft you back in. But if you've never been grafted in, if you have never put your treasure or your heart where Jesus is, you never actually abided in him to begin with. It's a very simple step. It's just a step of saying, Jesus, would you please come into my life? I give you my life, Lord. And from that point on, I believe the vine dresser will cleanse you, will dress you, will do all of these things to make sure your life is fruitful. But I believe the first step is to abide in him. For those of us who have abided in him before and feel like we've been snipped off. And you know, the problem with being snipped off and being on the ground and withering is we can go through the motion. So in Israel's history, the people of God's history, one of the problems was they went through the motions. They went to the temple, they sacrificed, they did all the things. You know, for us it'd be like, we still go to church, we still tithe, we still do this, we still do that. They could do all the right things. But if only you can know if that the flow of God is flowing through you. Only you can know, because as human beings, for some reason, we're good at being sneaky and tricky, you know? We could trick people. So for those of us who feel cut off, and God pruned us, and for some reason, during that pruning process, our heart has fallen to the part of the branch that's no longer connected to the vine. You're just a simple prayer away. Saying, Lord, I want to trust you. I know I had good times in that branch during those times, but I trust you. And I believe wherever, whatever you want me to do, go through. Even if it's relearning, even if it's regrowing, it's a humbling process. It's a painful process, but Lord, I know if as long as I'm connected to you, that branch will shoot out again, and guess what? Even more fruit will come out of me. More than that branch you cut off. And so I want to trust you. So wherever you are, as before we do communion, and even as we do communion, maybe you could bring that to the Lord, to the table. Just give him your heart. Let us pray.